I got the bloodlust.
Me too.
I want to kill. Let's kill. 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 Kill.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Bloodlust. It's your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror. This is episode 89 of The Bloodlust. I am your fearless leader. My name is Amy. Tonight, we're going to be talking about The House of the Devil. The 2009 Ty West throwback instant classic.
Instant.
Like instant noodles, but with more Satan.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit more.
Yeah, a lot.
100% more Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's safe to say.
Well, it depends on the noodles you're eating. Joining me to do so tonight, nobody is in the room with me, not even my little Thomas J. I'm all alone, and I'm very sad. So there's me. I'm Amy. Coming to us from her stately library, we have Kitty. Hi, Kitty.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. We are recording tonight, guys, on New Year's Eve.
That's true.
Just to let you know, we are not that lame. It is not the evening.
Oh, but I can guarantee you I'll be just as lame this evening.
I may also be. I'm not sure yet.
Still going to be in bed by a respectable hour.
Well, what do you have to do? You already watched all of Black Mirror.
I'll watch them again.
Fair enough. So, Kitty, as it is New Year's Eve, we are going to be discussing for our roundtable tonight a few of our favorite things. Now, of course, this is going to come out the first week of 2018, but what was your favorite non-horror movie of 2017?
Wow, I gotta say, it was a good year for non-horror movies as well. I think I have to go with Baby Driver.
Yeah, you guys loved the shit out of that one.
I loved that movie.
It was so
There's
fun.
A lot, though. Like, I could do easily top three and probably forget some things. Like, The Big Sick and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, or whatever that's called. That movie was amazing. Lady Bird? Come on.
So, okay. That is a good non-horror movie. Thank you, Kitty. Or a bunch of good non-horror movies. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. We're also doing, as we do every year since we started this little endeavor, our top tens of the year of horror movies. And we're not going to give them to you because they're on our website, thebloodlust.net. But, Kitty, can you give them just your number one?
My number one is Raw.
It's shocking, yeah. No one.
I know. Spoiler. At least it's not Get Out, but it's Raw. I love that movie.
What's not to love, man?
There's nothing.
It's got everything you could want.
Yeah. And now it's on Netflix.
I feel like I could watch it every week and not get sick of it.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's fabulous. So that's a little sneak peek of your list, but check out thebloodlust.net if you want to see her whole list of top 10. Are you going to rank them?
Sure.
Yes. I love it. And, okay, so just real quick, favorite TV show of 2017?
The Good Place.
I don't even know what that is.
It's got Kristen Bell and Ted Danson in it.
Oh, I heard that's great.
It's really good. I just started watching it probably the last week or two, and I'm basically caught up. And it's on season two now.
And where can you watch that?
The first season is on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And best book you read? I tried to keep mine to 2017 books.
If it's the... Oh, did that book even come out in 2017? I don't know. The Jonathan Safran Foer book. I already forgot the title. Wow.
It's a really generic title. I have it sitting on my table downstairs. Thanks for letting me borrow it. I haven't read it yet.
It's very long.
I think it did come out this year.
I mean, I like him. And it was good. I didn't read a lot of new books last year, though, so that narrowed it down a lot.
I don't usually read a lot of new books. I usually read a lot of old books.
I did really read Big Little Lies, and I really liked that, too, but that didn't come out last year.
Fair enough. And favorite album of the year?
I don't listen to new music.
Oh.
Like at all.
Ditto.
Okay. You can take a pass on that. Thank you, Kitty. You've held up to this grilling very well.
Oh, thank you.
Edward.
Yes.
So glad to see you've joined us.
Yeah, I didn't know we had started, but hi.
Hi, we've started. Eddie had some technical difficulties. I'm glad you're back.
Me too. I need a new computer. It's time to put this old gal out to pasture.
Well, she's been a good girl for you.
True.
Just lately, you know, we all get old.
It happens.
Things start to fail us. So, Eddie.
Yes.
I don't know if you've had a chance to think of all this stuff, but I'm going to throw them at you anyway.
Sure.
Do you have a number one favorite horror movie yet of 2017? Have you decided?
The Void? Does that count?
Yeah.
Is that this year?
Of course it counts. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Totally.
The Void is mine.
Bam. And what about non-horror? Are you still going with Logan?
It didn't come out this year, but my favorite thing I saw this year was Swiss Army Man.
That's
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, that really was delightful.
I still haven't watched it. It's another thing on my Amazon watch list I haven't gotten to. But now I have Amazon in my bedroom because they just let Apple TV have it. So I have a 50% more chance of watching it than I had before.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. I liked it a lot.
I can't imagine it wouldn't be. Also, Paul Dano's great.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about TV show?
The new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It counts as new because it came. It
yeah,
went
that was
going
to be my choice too.
Of course, it counts.
Ooh, boom! Sorry, Sam.
That's all right. Fatwa. What are you going to do? It was great.
What about books? Any 2017 books?
Nope, I didn't do no book learning besides
school.
Mandatory book learning this year.
You can name a textbook. I'm
Business,
just
Law, and Ethics. That was my favorite book of this year.
It's a page turner.
No, thank you.
My
it's a
wife,
mandatory page turner.
What's disgusting is I genuinely enjoy it.
Oh my god. Nerd.
I
have
an
urge to give you a wedgie right now.
Listen, I like knowing the rules. Okay.
Fair enough. Album?
Is there anything else? Album? I don't know. Animals as Leaders.
Ah,
I guess
yeah.
It's not an album, but that's...
The judges will accept that. I like them, too. Thank you for telling me about them. And that's why I like these year-end lists. That was what I was going to say before. It's a way for me to find new things. I always just look at people's lists and take notes of stuff I haven't seen or heard or read yet, you know? Usually the little snippets that go with people is like, here's why I liked it. I hardly ever read those. It's just like, oh, I've never seen this. I've never seen this, you know, and I make lists from them. That's why I like year-end lists.
That's a great reason to like them.
You know what I mean?
It's kinda,
I don't know.
What they're for, I guess.
I was listening to our buddy Andrew's podcast, the Cinemophile podcast, and he did his top 10, and he chose specifically things that everybody in his area had had a chance to see in the theater. So that made it a little tougher, and it made his picks a lot more popular. He didn't want stuff that has only played at festivals that people
right.
hadn't. You know what I mean? And I get that. And especially because of his audience. But for me, I like seeing obscure shit on lists because that means it's something I can go look for that's good.
Yeah, I will just list anything. It's my list.
I'll do what I fucking want.
Yeah. So I don't give a shit.
It's my goddamn list.
Let me hear your list, Jamie. What's your number one horror movie this year, as if I don't know?
Yeah, that's Raw also.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was just, I pretty much knew it when I saw it the first time this year. It's mm-hmm. like, there's no way I'm going to see anything that tops this.
Mm-hmm. You really do feel like you're seeing something special when you watch it for the first time.
Yeah, it was just so great. I've seen it 3 or 4 times since.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it.
And what about non-horror?
While I would agree with Kitty that Baby Driver was pretty great. I mean, it was super fun. I loved it. I can't wait to watch it again. I also really liked Thor.
Oh yeah.
From our man Taika Waititi. Saw that
mm-hmm.
twice.
Mm-hmm.
That was great, great fun movie, but I'm going to go way opposite of horror, sort of. I guess not way opposite, but I'm going to go Dunkirk. I went and saw that in the theaters when it first came out, and I was blown away. It's an amazing movie, but I'm really into history movies and historical war movies.
So. And it's a really good one, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I also really like Christopher any Nolan, recent... so.
Oh, good point.
Mm-hmm. It was good. It was very good.
All right, Jamie. So what about your favorite TV show of the year? This one's got to be kind of tough for you.
Yeah, it's always tough, but I'm with Eddie on this one. It was the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm was everything I would have hoped it would be and more. It was so funny. Like, I literally LOL'd during every episode.
Yeah, I haven't laughed that much at anything in a while.
Yeah, it was wow. Hilarious.
It saved me from a depressive episode. I was all bummed out, and I was like, oh, put this on. Oh,
that's a good one to have in your pocket.
If you like Larry David, if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm, you are missing out if you have not bothered watching this yet.
Damn it, I'm missing out.
Yep. Truckee from Pootie Tang is on it. I forget the actor's name, but he is hilarious.
There you go.
You know.
That is their name.
It should be.
It is.
I was thinking you'd go with Westworld or The Handmaid's Tale, but...
Well, okay. Westworld wasn't really this year.
It wasn't?
And Handmaid's Tale was good, but... I don't know. It didn't... I wouldn't say it was my favorite. It wasn't anything that, like, blew me away.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to watch it again.
This Game of Thrones season was out of control, but that's not a new show.
Which one?
Game of Thrones. This season.
Oh, yeah, well... Yeah. Actually, true. That was all this year, wasn't it?
That was, like, mm-hmm. The best thing I've ever seen on TV, a made-for-TV thing, went down this year.
It's totally, yeah, it's, I'm changing mine. I have to change it to Game of Thrones. I forgot that was all this year.
That was a very magic time that they bestowed
on us. Yeah, I stood up from the couch at one point and was, like, so excited.
I watched one scene of one episode, like, 25 times.
Yep, ditto, ditto.
Okay, fair enough, guys. What about books, Jamie?
Oh, I didn't read any new books. I mean, they were new to me, but nothing from 2017. I read
and
that,
no albums.
I read Annihilation. I'll say that because it's, I think, going to be a movie in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. It sure is. Yeah. That trailer looks nuts.
Yeah, and the book was nuts. I'm going to have to read it again because it is a lot to absorb. It's interesting. I don't even really know how to explain it. I liked it, but it's almost like it took me so long to sort of get in a nice groove of understanding what I was reading that it's hard to form an opinion until you've read it a second time, I think. But it definitely makes me even more interested to see the movie. Like, how in the hell are you making this into a movie?
And it's a trilogy. Cool. There's two more books.
I know.
Oh, right. What are they called, the trilogy?
The trilogy is called Area X.
Yeah, I don't remember what the other two, the next two books are called, but there's a place where we could look that up real quick.
Looks like Authority and Acceptance. I have, I got the trilogy as a one book, so that's like my next thing to read.
Oh, cool.
There you are.
There you are.
Oh, the Southern, right, also called the Southern Reach trilogy, sorry.
Southern Reach, that was what I was thinking of.
I don't know why it says Area X, too. Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'll go real quick since we're going long on this beginning. We're talking about House of the Devil. Stay tuned for
House
that.
House of the Diablo.
Just saying. That's right. My favorite, my number one horror movie this year, I'm still agonizing over, but I think it's Black Coat's Daughter. Not because I didn't love Raw, because I love the shit out of it, but Black Coat's Daughter, every time I think about it, I want to watch it again. I think that I like watching it better than Raw, so it wins for me.
Well, that's a good choice for you.
Yes. Thanks. I'm trying to do what's best for me, you know? Take
care
of me.
Spoiler alert, it didn't even make my top 10.
Crazy.
Spoiler alert, I didn't watch it.
Oh.
Oh. Sorry.
Well, I think you should, Kitty.
I'll try.
So... Non-horror, I think I will choose Colossal. It's almost something I could put on my list because it is like a monster movie.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. I just saw that too.
I loved it so much. It's really funny, and it's super smart, and it goes in a totally different direction than I thought it was going to, and I can't say enough good things about it. It's really, really good. It's sort of one of those high-concept kind of movies, the way that Being John Malkovich is, you know, with a premise where you're like, what?
Yeah.
But they use it to get at something that's much much deeper and more interesting than you might think it at the outset of the movie or when you hear the description.
Okay.
I really recommend it. TV, Twin Peaks, duh. Twin Peaks was my favorite thing of 2017.
End of life.
End of life. Well, David Lynch is my favorite thing of life. Twin Peaks is my favorite thing of probably this decade if he doesn't make anything else. Well, besides Mulholland Drive. Okay, let's move on.
Settle down.
Books. I read this year a book called Universal Harvester by John Darnielle, the guy from The Mountain Goats. And it was really cool. It was one of the only new, like, 2017 books that I read. Another one that I read was Theft by Finding, which is the collected David Sedaris diaries. That was great. I thought it might be boring and not as interesting to read as his other books, but no, it was really cool and interesting. An album would be the New Pornographers, Whiteout Conditions, because they're my favorite band. So any year that they come out with a new album is my favorite album. But the St. Vincent album is also real good.
Those sound like great choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought they were.
I really should try more new things, but I just love the old things.
There's lots of things to catch up on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the older things are easier to find.
Well, older things are often very new to me because, you know, I'm always Shazamming. I'm like 5 years behind the times, but I find new songs every so often.
Shazam's a nice resource for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, so those are our favorite things of 2017. Again, check out our website. Our lists are going to be coming out soon. Some will already be out, but I think I said that last episode, so don't trust me. All right, finally, we are going to get into House of the Devil, which is a listener request, right after these short messages.
Are you cool enough to call yourself a genre junkie?
Do you bury yourself in books of bloody terror?
Or delight in technological what-ifs?
Maybe you like to escape to magical realms full of heroes and magic.
Well, every other week, join Scott and I, Sandra, as we discover new books to satisfy your horror, sci-fi, and fantasy cravings.
Subscribe to Genre Junkies on iTunes or the podcatcher of your choice.
And don't forget to read past your bedtimes.
Hello.
Visit the Bloodlust website at thebloodlust.net. Send emails to thebloodlustpodcast@gmail.com and tweets to @_thebloodlust_. And don't forget to like The Bloodlust on Facebook and leave reviews on iTunes and Stitcher.
Oh, come on, bucko. Don't you want a balloon?
Okay, guys, we're back. We are going to talk about House of the Devil.
It was written, directed, and edited by Ty West. It stars Tom Noonan, Mary Woronov, Greta Gerwig, and Jocelyn Donahue. It is rated R, has a running time of 1 hour and 35 minutes, and premiered at Tribeca April 25th of 2009, and it was released in the U.S. October 30th of 2009. It has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Respectable.
It's a good number.
Since it came out in 2009, I'd say that's better than good.
Yeah. It's a pretty low-budge movie, too. It was made for, like, $900,000. And you guys know Ty West from such other movies as, well, let's see, he was in the VHS, he made a VHS, he did an ABC of Death, M is for Miscarriage, VHS. I think, he did The Sacrament,
woo,
the Jim Jones, but not Jim Jones movie.
But also but totally completely Jim Jones. Jim Jones.
But exactly Jim Jones. And he did The Innkeepers. And he also did this movie called In a Valley of Violence. I just saw that when I was checking on IMDb for the years of the other movies. And it came out in 2016, and it has John Travolta.
And Ethan Hawke.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, that's weird.
It's not a horror movie. I think it's like a Western.
Yeah, it is. But still, it's odd.
A Western with John Travolta?
I mean, I maybe heard of it and then forgot it already. Anything with John Travolta now is weird.
That's fair.
I kind of probably wrote it off because I'm not really a big Western fan. But it has, like, I think a 77% of Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. So maybe.
Well, that's crazy.
Just to be a completist, maybe we should watch it.
I mean, I do love Ty West.
That is true. You do.
And he's in Your Next also.
Yes, he is. Mumblegore. Isn't that what you called it?
Yeah.
I like that.
I can't take credit for it, but I thought it was perfect.
I know, but it is. It's perfect. So what's House of the Devil about? It is about a sophomore in college named Samantha, and she has a terrible roommate in the dorms, and she wants to get the hell out of there. But she doesn't have very much money. And she finds this dream apartment. The beginning of the movie, she's looking at this apartment that's owned by Dee Wallace, and it's always nice to see her. And she wants to give her the apartment, but Samantha needs a couple hundy more dollars to make the first month's rent. So she wants to find something fast and under the table, so she responds to a flyer asking for a babysitter for that very night, which also happens to be the night of a full lunar eclipse, and their town is ground zero for watching the eclipse. And when she gets to the house, which is out in the middle of nowhere, she finds that the circumstances that the parents told her about are not quite how they really are. She was led to believe a little something different about her night of work. And against the wishes of her friend who drops her off, Samantha decides to take the job. And, you know, it's just for a couple of hours. He's going to pay her a bunch of money. What could go wrong?
$400 in the 80s? Come on.
I know, for real.
$400 right now.
Yeah, that's true.
For a night of babysitting? Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And God bless her for being like, okay, make it $400. I was pretty impressed with her for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it's about. It's sort of a babysitter movie.
Yeah, I mean.
In a way.
Yeah. That's what she's there to do.
Also, something that I did not include in the description of this, but that you probably know, even if you haven't seen it but have only heard things, is that this movie is set in the 80s. And it's very accurate to the time period. It's filmed in 16mm, so it's got the same look. And they do a really nice job. There's a really great synthy 80s score for it, and it's got like One Thing Leads to Another by The Fix, sorry.
Yeah, it's very forgiven.
Thank you. It's a very faithful 80s movie. It could, even with the credits, the title sequence mm-hmm. and the end credits, it's very freeze frame with an overlay of the titles, you know. Very 80s horror movie. So that's a big part of this. It's a throwback film. So, Eddie, what did you think?
Well, I was very excited to watch this after I saw the trailer. And then yeah. I lost interest like 3/4 of the way through. It started off and I was so excited when I started watching it because it has that made-for-TV movie feel, but mm-hmm. in the best way possible. And I was into it. I liked all the actors were good. Everyone did a great job. It's always good to see old Tom Noonan out there being a mm-hmm. weirdo.
Jocelyn being a Donahue super tall weirdo.
Always good at it.
I thought Megan was funny. I mean, they had, like, cool character development in the beginning, and then, but nothing, it was too slow for me. It's too slow, and that's it. I think that's a matter of my taste. But it brought me in. There's something that happens in the middle that's, you know, a shock to the system.
Mm.
And then I was thinking it was going that route. I got very excited, which led to a letdown.
Hmm. Was it around the time when she's dancing around with her Walkman that you started to lose interest? There's a lot of time in the middle with that house,
dude,
you know, where she's just hanging out.
It's so much where they're just, she's just walking around the house. Like, yeah. What's happening here? This falls under another one of my, it'd have been a better short category.
And what about, I mean, we don't have to talk about what happens, but you didn't feel like the ending had enough of a climax or a payoff?
It's 15 minutes of an hour and a 35-minute movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch somebody
I'd be surprised
around.
If it was that long.
I timed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
okay.
I went back because I had to rewatch, and I was like, did I miss something? Did I miss something in the transition? Whoa. Sorry.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's got a case of the crazy puppies upstairs.
Ah, so.
Yeah, but anyway, 80s, I'm over it. Maybe in 2009 when I hadn't seen Stranger Things and It and all this stuff, I would have been like, oh, this is so exciting. But at this point when I saw it, I haven't seen it before. I'm tired of this 80s stuff.
It's true, you've said that before.
There was not enough heads getting blown off. It was boring. Bored me.
I think a lot of people have that same feeling about pretty much all of Ty West's stuff.
Is that the name of his game?
Yeah, he's a slow burn.
Ugh.
Yeah. I actually read an interesting interview with Ty West where he was talking about how he doesn't really like the term slow burn.
He wouldn't. Oh, Ty West.
Yeah, he kind of said, you know, why don't they call everything that's been made post-1990 fast burn? Because my stuff is just like all the old stuff, and you wouldn't call The Exorcist slow burn. You wouldn't call, you know, The Shining slow burn.
No, but you also wouldn't call, like, Friday the 13th or Jason fast burn.
Mm-mm. Well, you would. I think that's what he's saying.
No, I know, but that was a movie that was from the 80s, so it has the same feel, and if he's trying to, like, hearken back to this time, it's weird to sort of make a movie that feels so different than from horror movies that were at that time, if that makes sense.
Like, it does, you're right.
Technically, I'm sure this is giving people who know all the ins and outs of film, like, a big boner. Like, oh, the 16mm looks so awesome. He's doing this shot that's an homage to this 80s movie and blah, 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 blah. I don't give a shit. I want to be entertained. I was not entertained.
I want to be entertained.
I think that's valid, man.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I'm sure it's awesome for some people, and I see why people would like it, but I'm out. Suck it, House of the Devil.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching it twice, even though you didn't care for it.
I just had to make sure.
I got to do that sometimes my own self. A lot of times I like it better the second time.
Like, on paper, it seems like I should like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wrote it all out, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a movie I'm into.
Well, it's interesting to me because you liked
The Void.
The Void had goddamn monsters and shotguns.
Yeah, but it is an 80s throwback also.
Right.
It is. But I forgot what the hell was I going to say? No, it's okay. You liked Blackcoat's Daughter. And I feel like probably as much stuff happens in House of the Devil as happens.
Stuff. That's all stuff I've never seen before. I've seen chicks tied up in a pentagram before, like a bajillion times. I've never seen one calling demons from a boiler room, whipping her head around like a loony.
Touché. All right. Excellent. Kitty, what do you think? I know you are a large Ty West fan.
I do. I am a Ty West fan. This isn't my favorite Ty West movie, though.
It's not?
No. I do.
Sacrament.
The Sacrament is my favorite by far. And The Innkeepers on paper should be my favorite, but I maybe need to give it another try. This is probably second on the list of those three.
Okay.
I liked it. I liked it better. This was the second time I watched it, and I liked it a little bit better because I knew that I had to wait for the payoff, so I was more patient than I usually would be.
Uh-huh.
But it is so solidly 80s. It's great. Like the jeans that Greta Gerwig wears when they're at the pizza place. Oh my God. They're so high-waisted and acid wash, and the pockets are huge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the least flattering things ever.
Do you think they're Jordaches?
I hope they better be. If not, this whole movie is a sham.
I hate those. The feeling of those pants. When they high-waisted pants came back in, I was so upset.
Oh, God, I know.
Well, you weren't forced to wear them.
No, she was.
No, I was. I have to.
Oh, I don't know who did that.
I gave up when joggers came in, and then I was like, okay, I can get behind this one.
Well, yeah.
I plan on riding that trend till I die.
This good score is awesome.
Yeah.
And man, if I had one thing leads to another stuck in my head for a day now.
Yeah.
I think that it being set in the 80s makes sense for the, like, that's when Satanic Panic was going on. So I think that made it more sense for her friend to be a little bit more creeped out, because that's all that stuff was going on then. Otherwise, mm-hmm. You know, you're making $400 for a babysitting gig. Get over it. She's probably just jealous.
She didn't need the money.
Right. That's true.
She had daddy.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I guess that is part of the reason why it was set in the 80s.
Yeah.
That does make sense. And they have that little thing at the beginning about Satanic Panic, mm-hmm. how 70% of Americans believed in it and whatever.
Yeah. I think he maybe could have done a little bit more with that. I don't know how, but maybe something with the town or something, just to make it more obvious that that's what was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, because then there's not really another hint of that sort of thing until way later, almost the end.
Right. And I think
that's true.
Brian was watching it kind of in the background while I was watching it, and he said he made a good point that you don't feel dread for most of the movie. It kind of is just her walking around the house. At some point, yeah, she gets the knife and is walking around, but it's still not, the tension isn't really there until, well, actually there's not really any tension.
I feel like there is a good bit of tension.
I'm with you, Kitty.
I didn't feel it.
It's tensionless.
Yeah, and I've very, like, a very rare occurrence. I'm with Amy on this one.
Weird.
Yeah, I feel like there is a good amount of tension because we know things that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, she doesn't know what happened to her friend. She's trying to call her, and we know, but she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And her looking around the house and us seeing what's behind the bedroom door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we know what the stakes are, sort of.
Mm-hmm. That's what eliminates the tension for me. It's like, where's her friend? Oh, well, I know where she is. Her head's blown off. She's out of the picture.
We would not have seen what happened and also been wondering when she was calling where she is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was going back and forth on that. You know, I think usually I like that. When we only know what the character knows. I like being blind about what's happening. I think that's better with suspense. But this time, I thought maybe giving us a little bit was a good way to get around not much happening for a while.
Mm. I think so, too. And not only that, but it's like that whole scene, it was so stark and quick. Like, it's mild, you know, it's already a fair amount threatening because this guy appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
With a lighter. To light her cigarette, like, out of nowhere, and then is weird, like, looking around and asking. So it feels strange anyways, and then when he realizes she's not the babysitter, like, you know, it's so quick, seconds, mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Shoots her. And like, that's it. And then he gets in the car and leaves or whatever, but that happens so quickly, and it's so unexpected that and then there's nothing like that following that for a while. It's like, I thought that was, like, a perfect place to sort of add that in.
Because
then you're left sitting like, oh my God, what are they going to do now? Like, what is the plan for this?
Yeah, I thought it gave us just enough to be scared for her, where we might have thought, well, everything could be okay, you know?
Yeah, like, she could get out of this. Her friend's still coming back.
Yeah.
And even if they had just, like, captured her friend and, like, tied her up or something, then we still have that, okay, well, she's okay. The friend could get out. But this was just, like, such a quick, harsh reality of, like, no, these people are serious. They will kill someone without even thinking. You're like, oh, fuck, this is, even though this is slow and not much is happening, like, I imagine some shit is gonna go down. It's brewing.
Yeah.
That's Samantha, how I honey, took it.
You in danger, girl.
You in danger, girl.
Sorry, kitty. Go on.
Oh, that's okay. I don't really have that much to say. I do like this movie. I think it's really well made. It's just that it could be better. I really like it, though. It's just not my favorite of his. I don't really like satanic cult movies, really. Mm-hmm, so it's just not my cup of tea. I do
satanic
like...
Satanic cult movies are my favorite!
Yeah.
Sorry, cut
out. I do like the other kind of cult movie, apparently, because The Sacrament just drove me wild. I love that movie so much.
It drove you wild. Yeah. That is going to be Karen's quoted... review of this movie, Sacrament. It drove me wild. Mm-hmm.
Like it's Kitty. Like a David Cassidy or something.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to be it's, wild for this
that
one,
that movie
kid.
Is a heartthrob.
You want to learn what drives Kitty wild? Turn to page 32. The Sacrament.
Why, though? I feel weird about The Sacrament.
I do, too.
It's so Jonestown.
Yeah. It's so 100%. Jonestown. I mean, that's like... I just wish that it would have said
maybe
this
they
is
weren't
essentially
allowed?
Like a retelling of Jonestown.
And if they weren't allowed, then why? I don't know. It makes me feel funny.
Yeah.
Like maybe they shouldn't have done that.
I mean, you know I don't I mean? Know. I liked it.
I thought it was good. I thought it was very good, but I wonder why. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
why
know if
it was
I
so
like...
similar yet not
yeah.
connected.
Yeah.
And maybe it's terrible to make.
I don't know.
Maybe it's terrible that they made it into a horror movie.
No, I don't care. I like it.
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Let's hear about the other side. You guys liked it.
Huh?
Let's hear the other side. Kitty and I didn't like it.
I did like it. You're not listening.
Oh.
I do like it. It could be better.
No, you did like it. It could be better.
You scolded him.
You scolded me.
Tell me what you think.
Well, I've pretty much already said I like this movie. I've seen it a few times. I've always really liked this movie. I'm not usually one to dig the sort of heavy atmospheric movies that just rely so much on the atmosphere and the direction of the camera and lighting to convey something. It's not usually where I go, but this for me, it worked because everything felt so authentic in it. Like mm-hmm. the acting was on point and the setting looked very authentic for the time period. And so you were kind of like immediately just drawn in. And I thought the lead actress or like the lead character was at least compelling enough that I was interested in what happened to her and where this night was going to go for her. And Tom Noonan is always solid as a creepy, unsettling guy. And you just always get a weird feeling with his weird little lisp and like, I don't know. He's just very good at making you feel uncomfortable.
His voice is very, I don't know. It's very calm and weird.
Yeah. I don't like it. Like someone talk, like an old person talking to a child or something. It's not enjoyable, but it was just another touch that like added to the sort of unease of the whole thing because you didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like AJ Bowen. That's his name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's been in a lot of movies that we've seen. Like he was also in Your Next.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in, what was that other one? He was in he Sacrament.
Was in, yeah, uh-huh. He was one of the cameramen from The Sacrament. He was in The Signal,
yeah.
Which is an awesome low-budget movie that I love. He was great and creepy.
So he's been
that.
In a lot of stuff, and I think I've liked most of the things I've seen him in, and I like him in it. So even though he doesn't really play a huge part in this, like, I don't know, the scene that he's first introduced in is such a intense scene that it made me like him all over again and glad I was seeing another movie. So we haven't seen something with him in a while. I just like this movie. I like as soon as shit sort of hits the fan towards the end, it is like an intense ride until the end. And then you almost kind of think it ends on a semi-happy-ish note, as happy as it could. And then it turns out that it absolutely doesn't.
Sure doesn't.
And then, yeah, it ends and the closing credits are in those, in that wonderful, like, nostalgic 80s way that I'm not entirely sick of yet, because I just like how that looks when you're closing out a movie.
Yeah, this one, you know, I think this looks a lot more 80s, like legit 80s than something like Stranger Things does.
I do, it too. Was like, Stranger Things is trying to get that feel. But, it, you know, since it's not filmed in the same way, it's hard to immediately be taken in and feel as if, like, you're in that time.
Yeah, I think this tried to get the tone right.
Yeah, and
where
I think
Stranger Things is just a nostalgia thing with, like, the set design and the costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think this one tried a little harder to get the look.
And I prefer this to
the former. Yeah, it's more like a grindhouse movie, you know, the way that, like, Robert Rodriguez had done it, where he tried to make it look like shit quality and stuff. Not like this is shit quality. I like 16 millimeter, but
it just adds something to it. It's not as clear, you know, it's not as crisp. So I don't know. It's like your eye doesn't realize it necessarily, but you're not seeing as much detail. So you're focused more on what is actually happening, which I think just makes it a more entertaining, like, compelling movie. I mean, I'm not a huge, huge fan of Ty West. I've liked some of his stuff. I wouldn't say I'm, like, wild about it. I didn't really like Innkeepers. Sacrament, we just talked about, like, really, I liked it, but it was just a weird movie. But I would say if he did more like this, I'd be interested in more movies like this one, because I'm just a huge fan of this. I would recommend it highly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like this one a lot, too. I'd actually give this movie an A.
Wow.
I don't give out A's very often. I really, you know, I think, Eddie, you're right that if this came out this year, I might be over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might not be as receptive to it. But seeing it back then, you know, when it came out, 80s nostalgia wasn't as big in movies. You know, it was in, you know, fashion and stuff already, but it hadn't really gotten to the saturation point with movies that it has now. And I thought it was really exciting.
Yeah, maybe, you know, we both like it because we've seen it. Like, we saw it a while
time.
Ago.
Yeah, maybe so. And I think you're probably right that it, you know, didn't age that great as far as our tolerance now.
That's it. It's just tolerance level.
Yeah. But I don't mind the pacing of this. I think that because Ty West is one of those writer-directors who also edits, he kind of falls victim to the same thing that a lot of the similar filmmakers do, where he feels like all of his stuff's too precious to get rid of, which I can understand, you know, which is probably why it's a good idea to have somebody else edit your movies. But I know that this movie was made at the same time. It came out the same year that Cabin Fever 2 came out, and he made Cabin Fever 2 also, but he hated it. He was so upset with how it turned out that he asked for his name to be taken off. Yeah, he wanted to be Alan Smythe, the way that people do when they are unhappy with the finished product, but because he wasn't in the Screen Directors Guild, he wasn't allowed to use Alan Smythe, which I thought was interesting, but it kind of makes sense that he made this movie so... He made it such a faithful adaptation, or a faithful throwback, because... And he kept a lot of stuff in that maybe he didn't have to. You know, I feel like this could have been 5-10 minutes shorter, especially that midpoint, you know, where it lost Eddie and stuff. I think it could have... You could have lost some stuff out of there.
It had the Darling effect. It had the, like, the movie Darling. It was like, that movie's my ultimate kryptonite. Like, I hated it. And I don't... It was the same thing. It was just a chick creeping through a house.
Sorry.
And, like, shots of wood panels.
Yeah, it's probably that he was afraid to cut anything because of what became of Cabin Fever 2, maybe. I think it could have been, like, 125 minutes and been fine.
I agree.
Really, really good. But
I'm with Eddie, and you, I think you mentioned it, that a lot of walking around the house stuff, like I was into it because I was super into that house. It was gorgeous, and I kind of wanted to see all around the house.
Yeah.
But, like, it really didn't need her dancing around the house scene.
Not the entire scene, anyway.
Yeah, like, all of that could have been trimmed quite a bit, mm-hmm. And it would have been fine. It probably would have benefited from that.
Something I was thinking about when I was watching this is it's not, like, a repackaging of 80s, which I appreciate. Like, Stranger mm-hmm. Things is a, you know, it's a repackaged 80s mm-hmm. theme. But this was, like, a love letter to 80s movies, which that's great. That's something I should be into. It's
better.
Yeah. Maybe you would have liked it better if it had been 10 minutes shorter.
Yeah.
I just need more. It's just a matter of taste. It's just I need more stuff happening.
It's fair.
I want stuff to be like Mother's Day if it's in the 80s.
That would be a different kind of homage, I think.
That's a movie mm-hmm. that is happening.
And it should get an homage. Maybe we should make it.
I'm down.
Do it.
All right. I also would like to point out, AJ Bowen is great. I'm glad that you mentioned him, Jamie. He's, like, probably my favorite character actor that's not Larry Fessenden or Tom Noonan that's in indie horror.
Yeah, Larry Fessenden.
Did you see he was a producer on this?
Of course he was.
He was fantastic. That's where he was.
I think that I've never seen this Jocelyn Donahue in anything else. But
I know, which is really a shame.
She looks like a tiny job. Sofia Vergara. Like
who?
Sofia you Vergara. Think so? When Sofia was 8 years old.
I think she looks a lot like Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
And I thought that was neat because this looks a lot like Black Christmas. The house looks a lot like the sorority house, you know, and the look of it in general looks the same.
Did you guys notice the pizza delivery nod to Loverboy? And he asked her if she wants extra anchovies. Yeah.
I used to love that movie. They used to show that on Comedy Central all the time.
You didn't really want extra anchovies. You wanted some schvants for money.
I did get real upset when she accepted the pizza and then, like, slammed the door and sat down and held it, like, vertically.
Yeah.
I've never held a pizza before?
Yeah, I got so angry. Even though I've seen this more than a few times before, I was like, bitch, that's not how you hold that pizza.
Yeah, where are you, from the planet Mars?
Your cheese is going to get fucked up.
Fucking amateur.
Bullshit artist.
Flatten it out.
Yeah, even it
up. She didn't eat it anyways.
Lena Dunham was the 911 operator.
I know.
Isn't that weird?
Whoa, what?
Yeah. She's probably in that whole group of people. She's probably buddies with all of them.
That seems strange.
I feel like everybody that was in this did a great job. Jocelyn Donahue, I feel like they probably just cast her because she looks the part, but...
Well, she also did a great job at it, so...
I think she did all right. But Greta Gerwig, man, I don't understand.
You're just distracted because
I'm in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand how you can be in a movie for 5 minutes and then... But this was the first thing I ever saw her in, and I was in love with her from that. She's only in it for a couple minutes, but she's so good. Why is she so memorable? Is it the way she eats?
I think so. I have to admit, I do like the way she eats.
I don't know if that's why, but I feel like...
There's something, like, very endearing about the scene where she's eating the pizza and drinking soda at the pizza place.
Yeah,
she's relatable.
She's eating...
Yeah, it is. That's again, this movie feels very... Like, I like movies that feel authentic.
It does feel authentic.
You don't feel like you're watching a movie.
I usually like movies about middle class or lower middle class people better also. Maybe because mm-hmm. I can relate to them more, you know?
Sure.
And so I... Maybe that's another reason why I like this.
And you just love her.
Well, I love Greta Gerwig. She's my number one celebrity crush.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson? No, that wasn't
That's
me.
That's Becky's.
That's Becky's.
Oh. Sorry.
I have
God,
a bit,
get him straight.
I have quirky tastes, Eddie. You've met my wife, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's fair.
Okay. Well, you see my wife and you...
Well, I don't see why Greta couldn't be your number one. I just thought it was someone else.
No,
Gerwig. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I mean,
it's
I know
important.
She's no, what's her face, but What the hell is a woman you like?
Ooh.
Well, besides Chloe Sevigny.
Olivia Munn.
Oh, Olivia Munn. I love the Olivia Munn, yes.
Yeah, but...
Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson. God, I blanked on her name. They can't all look like Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, that's true.
I guess she's in some new movie where she just plays, AI's voice. And my buddy watched it, and it gave him very real feelings for a robot.
Oh, her is a really romantic
love
story. It's great. It's really sad, too.
It is.
Well, just so you guys know, Ian's in love with the pretend robot from it.
That's fine. So is Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. And we understood why.
Yeah. I loved that movie. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, me too. I cried. Anyhow.
I did too.
Anywho.
Moving on.
I don't know that we need to do much about spoilers for this. Do you?
No, we've already kind of talked about it, enough of it.
She gets in a pickle.
A dilly of a pickle. I like movies that actually have demons and stuff in them, you know. It's a normal-seeming movie, and then, oh, wow, this shit's real.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. So this delighted me. I love a good pentagram with candles and chanting and, you know, blood.
It's sure a lot better than a bad pentagram. Mm-hmm.
Even a poorly drawn pentagram is still a good pentagram.
Really? If it's upside down, that's not a pentagram, though.
Fine, but if it's poorly drawn.
Sure, but...
Not incorrectly drawn. We're really off topic.
I'm with you. I liked all the stuff from when the shit went crazy and she wakes up and... I mean, if you wake up like that, that's terrifying.
That'd be terrifying. I love it.
Of course. It was great. Then you think she makes it and she finds her own way out and she doesn't. It's just... all around satisfying.
Yeah. The only thing I wasn't satisfied with is, why would he have brought Greta Gerwig's body into the house?
Yeah, I wasn't satisfied with that, and I was unsatisfied because that was a very unrealistic amount of blood that came along with that body.
Yeah,
because
she'd been bleeding out in the car for how long?
Right.
Then again, maybe when he upended
her. The whole time she was in the house.
I don't know.
There's no way.
But what was the point of dragging her into the house?
Right, just to create a slippery situation.
Right.
Piso mojado.
Piso mojado. I also didn't like that. But other than that, it was fine. I thought it was great.
That's so funny. That's like the one part that I really did not like. Because I was like, nope, nope, nope.
Why? Why bring her in? Just to mess with her head? You thought she'd be out the whole time. So that doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was really funny how she slipped in Greta's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he kind of slid in it. I think that was just why they did it. Like a creep mouse trap.
They should have done one of those little whistles.
Or the boop, 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 boop,
you know? Yeah. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Great times.
You guys.
What?
Give this a letter grade. I say A. But only as coming out in 2009. If it came out today, I wouldn't be so generous with it.
Well, you're just grading it based on your feelings about it, and if your feelings are somewhat tied to when you saw it in 2009, you can't help it. It's just what it is.
That's true.
A minus.
Whoa.
B.
I don't throw A's out very often.
D for don't want to watch it again.
That's fair.
There it is.
Eddie, I think you should watch Raw still, though.
Hell yeah.
I do, too. Stuff happens.
It sounds like it's going to make me very uncomfortable.
You'll be fine. I mean, it's gross, but you've seen grosser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think there are very many uncomfortable things in here.
I mean, the waxing scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine. You'll love it. You'll love it. Well, guys.
Oh, wait. Not on anyone's list. Check out The Greasy Strangler. Everybody.
That was actually on my list for 2016.
Well, great.
Because it's awesome. Eddie, for taking my advice. Nobody else watched it but you.
Suckers.
But they missed out, right?
Yeah, they missed out on Big Ronnie.
I'm still
Big
okay
Ronnie.
With that for right
I think
now.
I've seen enough from that movie.
No, I guarantee you haven't.
Oh, I think
Bullshit
I have.
Artist.
Man, hey, Big Ronnie.
Kitty, how about you and I watch it and we'll do a commentary?
Okay, please. Oh my God, I would love that so much.
Okay, or a bloodless bite or something.
Listeners, retweet if you want to hear a commentary from Kitty and Jamie on the Greasy
Strangler. It's going to be a lot of peen talk, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no avoiding that.
A lot of flaccid peen.
Flaccid peen.
Mm-hmm. It's my band name.
Next time. I know you guys have been waiting, anticipating Insidious The Last Key, and that's our next movie. Comes out on the 4th? Is that next Friday? The 4th?
Yes.
The 5th?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Next Friday is the
4th. 5th.
Comes out on the 5th of January. We are going to be reviewing it next. Please do go see it and tell us what you think. And we'll tell you what we think in a couple weeks.
When we go further.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Another movie with a colon. So we'll be making mm-hmm. that joke. Look forward to that.
I never get sick of colon jokes.
No.
At least we're consistent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're regular,
yeah.
You could say.
Oh, gross.
There it is. Guys, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
On this New Year's Eve
Happy New
day.
Year's Eve.
Yes. Happy 2018 to all you listeners. And until next time, I've been Amy.
I'm Jamie.
Karen.
Ultron.
Yeah.
Clown baby.
Clown baby.
Mic drop. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Later.
Tina Turner, what do you think about House of the Devil? She'd say, "Wah!" That's what she'd say.